Gemara Erubin has been sponsored by Mr. Isaac Jamal and his wife Celia for their success, for their children's success, health, happiness, beracha, parnasa, v'hatzlacha, bechol ma'aseh yedehem. Daf Tzaddi Zayin. Today's daf has been dedicated in honor of Mr. Jack and Marilyn Shchebar, dedicated by their son Isaac. Hashem alehim yichyu, amen. Today's daf is dedicated to Elul Nishmat Acham Baruch Rafael ben Miriam and Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem tanichem began Eden, amen. We begin today's daf on daf Tzaddi Zayin, Amud Rishon, fourth line down. And the Gemara begins in the words Vehashta. Now,
lecture mode on.
Until now, we learned in El Mishnah, we were talking about where a person found tefillin on Shabbat in an area that wasn't protected. And we were understanding that the tefillin were not tied. And therefore the Gemara discussed if they're new tefillin, if they're old tefillin, because the concern was that they might be a kamiya. In the olden days, they would make kemi'ot, kemi'in, like tefillin. So one of the ways that you would be able to discern if indeed it was a kamiya or tefillin was by the straps. How? The straps were shaped into letters. For example, the back of the shel rosh, the straps were shaped into a dalet. So if it was a new tefillin, so you really wouldn't be able to discern if there was a dalet on those straps, because we're talking where the straps were not tied. But if it was an old pair of tefillin, so you'd even see the creases in the straps themselves. So that's how we learned the difference between new and old, because we're talking till now, the straps are not tied. So comes the Gemara, and now is going to contradict that. And is going to say that there's a different machloket over here. So we brought a braita, if you remember. The braita had a machloket in the Bimi'ir and the Bi'Yehuda. The Bimi'ir was the one that said it doesn't make a difference whether they're new or they're old, you save them on Shabbat. Because the Bi'Yehuda said you only save old ones, but you know for sure that they are tefillin, and you don't save the new ones, and it's all going according to the straps. So the Gemara says no. But now that we have a statement of the father of Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, and he brought a braita, and the braita said, Eluhen yeshanot. This is what it means in the Mishnah when it says old tefillin. Kol sheyesh bahem retzuot v'mekusharot, which means we're talking about it has the straps, of course, and the straps are tied, which means the knot is made, which means you see the dalid and the yud and the shel yad as well, and in the shel rosh you have the sheen on the box. Hadashot yesh bahem retzuot v'lo mekusharot. Which means, and what is considered hadashot? The tefillin have ritzuot, but they're not tied. And therefore, the kule alma lo tarach inish. Which means everybody holds that nobody makes from a kamiya into the shape of tefillin. That's too much of a tirha. Which means lo tarach inish kulehai. Nobody's toiling when they make a kamiya to go so far to make it in the shape of a tefillin, that's too much trouble. So what's the machloket over here on Shabbat or not? Can you, to say these tefillin, it's got to do with making a knot on Shabbat. One of the 39 melachot is, it's asur to make a knot. That's kosher. And therefore, when you find tefillin that have the knot already, those are considered yeshanot. I mean, the knot is made. Okay, knot was made already, go save them. Hadashot is talking about where the knot was not made. Why can't you save them according to, let's say, Rabbi Yehuda? Because we all agree now how to make a knot on Shabbat. So since you can't make a knot on Shabbat, you got to leave them there. So what's the logic of Rabbi Meir? Rabbi Meir, since you could save even ones that don't have a knot, he says even Hadashot, because he'll hold, you'll make a temporary knot. In order to wear it on your head home, make a kesher she'en or shil kayama, therefore it's not Yisud Deoraita such a knot, and therefore you have no problem. So according to Abu Yishmuel, now we're learning a whole new way of this machloket between Hadashot and Yeshanot. Till now we learned Hadashot and Yeshanot, that what? It's unknotted. Bechlal is unknotted. It's just totally straps or just undone. And the Sheila is it a Kamiya? Is it not a Kamiya? And then we have to start discerning. According to Abu Dushmir, it's nothing to do with Kamiyas. People don't make the Kamiyim to look like the Filin. Also, what's the subject over here? Does it have a knot? Are the straps knotted or not? If they are, then already everybody holds, that's considered Yeshanot. No problem, save the Tefillin. You could wear them, no problem. If there's no knot in the Tefillin, we notice if it's Tefillin. It's not the question. It's not a Kamiya. The Sheila is, could you make a knot on Shabbat? Well, the B'udah says certainly not. And therefore, Isur Deoraita, leave the Tefillin. Hachem did not waive their Isur of the Torah, did not allow you to make a Keshet Shul Kayama. Whereas the Rabbi Meir will tell you, no, you don't have to make a Keshet Shul Kayama. Make a temporary knot. And so you'll be able to wear them home on Shabbat. So that's a new way of understanding the machloket. Let's read that in Nashi. Top line in Nashi. V'hashta detani Abu Yishmuel. De'ai hadashot, k'shiyesh pehem ritzu'ot ve'ena mekusharot, k'ain kesher shel tefillin na'asu kimin otiyot. V'chen hu kavua tamid. Alma, ta'ama mishum kesher hu. V'kshira av melacha, ואסור לקשור בשבת קשר של קיימא. That is the subject. Can you make a knot on Shabbat or not? Everybody agrees you can't. It's just that Rabbi Meir will say you'll make a temporary knot, and therefore you can wear it home. Therefore, there's no isur. Comes the Gemara and says, Gemara asks a question. Vile'inbihu mi'inab, which means according to the Biyuda, don't make a knot. Make a bow. If you remember in Masechet Shabbat, we learned there's different type of knots. There's a knot that's considered a keshir, and then there's a bow. A bow, you just pull it, and it comes out. So therefore, what's your problem, Rabbi Yehuda? Why should you say it's asur when they're unknotted? Don't make a keshir. I understand you don't want to make a keshir. But make a ariba. Make a bow. That's permissible on Shabbat. You should be able to save it even if they are not tied. Amar of Chazda, so Chazda answers. Zot omeret aniva pesula betfilin. We must learn the dusar over here that Rabbi Yehuda says an aniva is pasul in the tefillin, which means it's not considered kasher, which means when you make the knot for the tefillin, it's got to be a knot. Can't be an aniva, which means this shitora holding Shabbat zman tefillin. And therefore, since it's man tefillin, the whole heter to wear at home is, are you doing the mitzvah? So at least you're wearing tefillin, you're doing the mitzvah. So therefore, it's got to be tefillin. If you just make an aniva is not going to help. The tefillin is not going to be kasher. So then we could deduce from the fact that the Biyuda does not allow you to even make an aniva, because he holds a bow in the shape of the letters is not going to be significant. So the Gemara says, Abaye Amar. Abaye comes along and says like this. Really, I'll tell you, aniva is kesher for tefillin. He argues on the chesda. Rabbi Yehuda l'tame, but Rabbi Yehuda has a different logic. De'amar aniva keshira me'el yetahi. Because he really holds what? That aniva is considered a kesher. Which means in Masechet Shabbat, on the subject of making knots on Shabbat, if you remember, Rabbi Yehuda was mahmir, not only by knots, but he was mahmir even by bows. So therefore, really, I'll tell you, the bow would be kasher for the tefillin. But the reason why you can't make the bow is because it is Shabbat. And Rabbi Yehuda l'shitato, that says, bows are asur. Now that she gives you the source of that, we learned it together, Rabbi Yehuda l'tamir, beperik elu kesharim. Says, Hevel Dlishin Ifsak. you have the rope that was attached to the bucket where you used to draw water, so the hebel snapped. So what did it say in the Mishnah? Korech ala pundia o pisikia ubevat shelo ya'anvenu, which means you could attach a hebel, attach a pundia pisikia, like a type of string to it, ubevat shelo ya'anvenu. But the Yehuda said, don't make a bow. So therefore you see what? Alma, tama mishum de keshirahu, v'chayavim alayah mishum avmelacha. So it comes out we have a machloket between Rav Hizda and Abaye on the logic of Rabbi Yehuda of the Blaita. Rabbi Yehuda of the Blaita clearly says that what? If it's untied, you cannot take them home. Why? Either because you're going to have to make an aniva, and an aniva is not kasher by tefillin, so if you have no options, how are you going to wear it home? Second understanding is really, you can make an aniva by tefillin in order to make those letters. But what? An aniva on Shabbat is av melacha. Comes Gevoran says, Tama da aniva kishira me'aliyatai, which means the whole reason of Rabbi Yehuda is only because an aniva is considered a legitimate knot, and therefore is asur on Shabbat. Halav hachi aniv lehu, which means if it wasn't for that, it sounds like according to what Abaye is saying, make an aniva for the tefillin, make a bow. Kibbara says, v'ha'amar Rabbi Yehuda b'rederav Shmuel bar shilat m'shem ederav. What do you mean? We have a statement. Kesher shel tefillin, the knot of tefillin, halacha le-Moshe mesinayu. Which means we have a tradition that says, halacha le-Moshe mesinayu, it tells you have to make a knot on the tefillin, meaning a dalet in the back, and on the shel yad you have to make a yod, and on the box itself, the shel rosh, you have to make a letter sheen. Ve'amar Rav Nachman, ve'noyehen lebar. And their adornment has to be facing outside. According to the Tosafot, it means the dalet that you make on the back of the head, the dalet has to be visible from the outside, which means you don't make it backwards where it's, you know, inverted where it's on the inside. The dalet has to be facing out. V'noyehin lebar. According to the Rashi, he learns the words v'noyehin lebar. It's not referring to the dalet. It's referring to the sheen on the box, meaning the sheen has to be visible so people could see it, meaning you put it on the side of the box, as opposed to putting it on the back of the box, so it would not be visible. Because the Pasuk says, V'ra'u kol amei ha'aretz, that the people of the world will see the tefillin. What are they going to see? The tefillin shel Rosh. What are they going to see on the tefillin shel Rosh? The name of Hashem. Ki shem Hashem nikra alecha. So therefore, this is V'noyehen lebar. The sheen that you have in the shel Rosh got to be facing outside. But what do you see from this statement? That a kesher of tefillin is halakha moshe mesinayu. So how could you tell me Rabbi Yehuda says a bow is kesher, an aniva, when it says that kesher is halakha moshe mesinayu? So the Gemara says, what's the problem? The aniv lehu ken keshira, they do. You make a bow, which according to Rabbi Yehuda is a kesher, and you make the bow in the shape of a dalet, and the yud. So you have no problem, which means, in the chanameh, we're telling you the bow is kesher, and make it in the shape of a kesher, so therefore it's no problem according to the halakha l'Moshe Mesinai. Good. Comes again, Gemara and says, Amar Rav Hizda, Amar Rav. New story. Halokeyach tefillin memi she'eno mumhe. A guy buys tefillin from somebody that is not an expert. Which means a guy, when he bought, let's say, a bunch of tefillin, right, from somebody that's not an expert. Now, again, his intention is he's going to resell them. He went to a guy, bought, give me 10 pairs of tefillin, let's say, and now he gets them, and he's going to go resell them. But the guy bought them from, the guy's not a mumhe, which means he's not an expert in the laws of the tefillin, to know exactly if they're kasher, if they're not. He himself doesn't know how to check them. So now, the question is, you cannot resell them until you establish that these tefillin are kasherim. So therefore, what do you do? So the Gemara says, Bodek shtayim shel yad v'ahad shel rosh. Out of the bunch, you check two shel yads and one shel rosh. Or shtayim shel rosh v'ahad shel yad. Or check two shel roshes and one shel yad. What are we trying to do over here, it seems? We're trying to establish what's called hazakah. It means once you check three tefillin, whether it's two and one of yad, rosh, or rosh yad, now already, if three of them are kasher, you can assume that the rest of them are kasher. That's what the Gemara is saying now. So the Gemara says, man nafshach. Hold on. What's the case? He says, this does not work, this two-in-one business. Why? No matter how you look at it, it's not going to work. If, let's say, all these tefillin were bought from one person, meaning the same sofer wrote them, so therefore, libdok o shalosh shel yad, o shalosh shel rosh, which means, all you got to do is check is three. So check three yads, or three roshes. Why do you have to check two yads and one rosh? Or if you're just trying to establish a hazakah, just check three even of the same tefillin. Right? The Gemara made it a point to say, you got to have two in one. Why do you have to have two in one? If it's from the same sofer, he's just trying to establish that the guy knows what he's doing. So I check three yads or three roshes. Now, if you're telling me now that you bought it from two or three, meaning there's different sofrim over here, so that already, call had vehad l'ray bedika. That already, you have to check each one. Which means, just because you checked three, doesn't mean that the fourth one is kashir, because it doesn't know hazakah in the fourth one. Because it's written by different sofrim. So the Gemara says, what's the case over here? What's the scenario where you tell me you got to check two and one? So the Gemara says, le'olam mehad gavra zabin. I'll tell you, really, you bought it from one person. You see, it's one sofer over here. Uba'inan de mitmehe b'shel yad u'b'shel rosh. And you have to establish that the guy knows how to write shel yads and shel rosh, which means there's different halachot negabe de shel rosh. And therefore, just because you established three shel yads doesn't mean that the guy necessarily knows shel rosh. So therefore, we want you to get a shel rosh involved in the three. So therefore, we told you two and one. If you bought it from many sofrim, then already you're going to have to check each one before you resell it. But if you want it for one, you check two and one. And the reason is because if you just check shel yads, that doesn't give a hazakah on the shel rosh. Gemara says, Edi, we have a contradiction. We have a braita, right, from Rabba Bar Shemuel. It says, Bitfilin Bodek Shalosh Shel Yad V'Shel Rosh. Says, when it comes to tefillin, you check three yads and three roshes. Now, my love, what does it mean, three and three? O Shalosh Shel Yad, O Shalosh Shel Rosh. So you see, clearly you have a bright that it's telling you, at least the way we're understanding it now, it's three of these or three of those. You don't got to do the two and one. So it seems that what? You do have a hazakah when you check your yads for the rosh. Or shalosh yad, or shalosh rosh. Gemara says no, lo. Shalosh mehin. Shalosh. You have to check three. Mehin shel yad, mehin shel rosh. And part of them have to be yad, and part of them have to be rosh. So it's not like you learn. It's not three yads and three roshes. It's three. And in the three, you got to make sure that you have yads and roshes in the two and one. Gemara says that, and erav kahana. We have another braita. Remember Rav Kana, bitfilin bodek shtayim shel yad v'shel rosh. Oh, this braita says you only have to check two. Now our braita said you have to check three. What do you do with this braita? So the Gemara says, ha mani rabihi. Now that braita is following Rabbi, de amar bitrezimne have hazakah. So we have a famous machloket in Masechet Yebamot. How many times is considered hazakah? Rabbi is the opinion of twice already is considered a hazakah. He was discussing a case of a lady that was married to a man, and the man died. And then she got married again to a second husband, and again the husband died. So according to Rabbi, she's already considered a katlanit. Katlanit means she's a lady that, her luck kills husbands. And therefore you can't marry her. He holds already, after the second time, we consider a katanit. But the other rabbis argue and say, no, hazakah is three times. So therefore this opinion over here that says, by the tefillin, you only have to check two of them, that is following the opinion of Rabbi, that says hazakah is two. The other brayta was following, there's the shita of Rabban Gamliel, that says hazakah is three. No, just either, that doesn't discuss. It sounds like from the brayta, it's shnayim, either shel yad or shel rosh. That's what it sounds like from the brayta. Shnayim, shel yad, v'shel rosh. Now you can learn like we learned earlier in the brayta, shnayim, and one in one. And one of them has to be a shel yad v'rosh. Doesn't seem he's arguing necessarily on that point. The Gemara says, E Rabbi, oh, if you're telling me that brayta is Rabbi, ema sefa, you're going to run into a problem with the end of that brayta. Why? What does it say at the end of the brayta? V'chen betzevet hasheni, v'chen betzevet hashelishi. And you have to do the same thing in the second pile and in the third pile. Oh, what do you mean? So we're talking about a case over here where you bought, not one or two pairs of tefillin over here, you bought piles of tefillin from this guy. So therefore you have bundles. You have one bundle, you have two bundle, you have three bundle. So now we want to establish the kashut of the piles. So therefore the B says what? Check two from this pile, two from this pile. So then he says, and v'chin betzivet ha-shilishi, and then check the third pile, two from them. Then it's mashma that what? All the piles now are kasher. Now what do you mean? According to the B, if you're trying to get the established kashrut of piles, you should only have to check, right? Two of the piles. Why do you have to check three? So the Gemara says, v'ira B, shilishi mi'itle? According to the B, does he hold that you have to check the third pile if you're trying to establish hazakah on the piles now? For example, there's 10 piles. So the B says you don't got to check them all. Just check the first three, meaning two from, the first three, and they're all good. What do you mean? Why do you need three? You just say check two from two, and then they're all kasher, because he also has a kashtayim. So the Gemara says, modere B, betzivatim. He agrees when it comes to piles that you got to check more. Why? Dimitret lata gabre zabin. Because when you have so many tefillin, one guy didn't write them all. For sure, when you have piles, they are from different tefillin. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, what are you talking about? If they're from different tefillin, then you don't have hazaka even after the third one. So what is it saying? Well, you have to check the third one. So the Gemara says, you're right, by the way. Once you have piles, you got to check them all. There's no hazaka, because each pile could be from a different sofer. So it says, the hadik tani shilishi, only reason why the Braita said you gotta go to the third one, la'apukim hazaka. He was just trying to say there's no hazaka in this case, which means normally I hold two is hazaka. In this case, you gotta go to three. Now, once already you have to go to three, that automatically is gonna tell you, right? You have to go to four and you have to go to five, which means we know the Braita is the B. So the B, two should be enough. Once already you see, you got to go to the third one. After already you see, there's no hazakah over here. If there's no hazakah, the logic is why? Because it's from many sofrim. So each pile stands alone. You have to go through each pile itself. And in the brayta is the B. Comes to Gemara further. We learned in our Mishnah, mitza'an sevatim or kirichot. So we said, if you found, let's say, on Shabbat, in an unprotected area, not one pair of tefillin or a few pairs, you found piles of them. So then the Mishnah had a different deen. The Mishnah said, stay there. Don't bring them back. Just stand there on Shabbat, and after Shabbat you'll bring them home. At this point, the Gemara wants to know, what is a tzevet and what is a krach? We understand that they're synonymous. It just means bundles. But the Gemara says, my tzevatim umay kirichot. What's the terminology? Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, hen hen tzevatim, hen hen kirichot. It's the same thing, meaning it's bundles. So what's the terminology then? Tzevatim zuze zuze. When you find bundles of tefillin, that each pair of tefillin is tied to each other, the shel yad and shel rosh, they're tied to each other in pairs, we call that tzevatim. Kirichot, nichlichan tuva. Kirichot are just, we have piles of tefillin all mixed up, where they're not tied to each other in pairs, but it's the same concept. It's many tefillin. Comes the Gemara and says, "Mashiach alehenu mebi'an." So what do we say in the Mishnah? What's the din? In that case, you have to stand there the entire Shabbat until Shabbat ends. So the Gemara says, "Ve'amai le'ailinu zug zug." Bring them in one at a time, which is why should this case be different than the first case of the Mishnah, where Rabbi Meir allowed you to go, take one at a time, wear them home. So do the same thing over here. Amar Rav Yitzchak, Bered, Rav Yehuda, Lididi, Mefar Shere, Mined, Abba, and I heard an explanation from Abba's Rav, Kol She'ilu, Machnisan, Zug, Zug, Vechalot, Kodem, Shekiat, Hama, Machnisan, Zug, Zug. The only time we gave you the heter of zug zug is if you could finish the job on Shabbat. If you could finish the job by sunset, meaning it's not that many tefillin, where you make however many trips back and forth and the job will get done, then the rabbis waived the isur of, let's say, wearing the tefillin. Even though, let's say, Shabbat's man tefillin, but you have to remember, still the rabbis, in a normal case, did not want you to wear tefillin to the Reshut HaRabim. Even if according to the opinion it says Shabbat Zman Tefillin, why didn't they want you to wear the Shut Rabim? They were concerned for whatever reason you might take it off and end up carrying it. The rabbis were willing to waive that Isur if you could finish the job on Shabbat. However, the Ilo, but if anyway you're going to have to come back after Shabbat anyway, because there's so many Tefillin there, so therefore, technically it's like your Hilul Shabbat that we allowed you to do, you didn't even finish the job anyway. So therefore, Mashik Alenu Mevi'an. So therefore, you know what? Just stand there. Don't do any Hilul Shabbat because the job's not going to get totally finished. And therefore, after Shabbat, you go back. So therefore, the difference is the quantity. If the quantity allows you to finish the job on Shabbat, bring them one at a time. Meaning wear them one at a time. If not, then already you have to stand there. Mashik. Good. Comes again what and says, quote from the Mishnah, Upsakana. Mechasan veholech. Oh, so we said in a time of danger. So then, you don't even have to stand there. You just cover them up, right? Let's say cover the tefillin just so they don't lie there in bizayon, in disgrace, and you cover it up. Now, of course, the Gemara is going to analyze now what type of sakana are we talking about over here. Now, the sakana clearly is, we're worried about the guy. I mean, if the guy's going to have to stand there, and the guard is tefillin, we're worried that he's putting himself in some sort of danger. So the Gemara says, we're not going to put the guy in danger, but at the same time, we're not going to let the guy wear him home. Well, you let him wear him home, because you're going to have danger, maybe. Because we have to find out exactly what the nature of the sakana is. So then we tell the guy, just cover him up and leave. So the Gemara analyzes. Ve'atanya, what do you mean? We have a braita that says, Upsakana Molichan pachot pachot me'arba abot. We have a braita that says, in the time of sakana, then we'll let you, we don't want you to wear them, because sakana, we'll let you carry them in your hands, but just walk less than 4 amot at a time. And walk 3.5 amot, stop. 3.5 amot, stop, because the Isur and the Shutarim was only 4 amot. So therefore, what do you mean? We have a Mishnah that says, kom sakana, cover. We have a braita that says, kom sakana, walk them, pachot, pachot. How do you reconcile? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav la kasha. No question. Ha besakanat nukhri, ha besakanat listim. It depends what the sakana is. There's sakanat nukhri, which means, sakanat nukhri, the way that she learns on the Amud Bet, according to a different girsa that he had, and that's the girsa that we're going to take. He learned sakana nukhri is where the guyim made a gizirah against tefillin. The sha'at of the shmad, where the guyim do not allow us to do the mitzvot. So in that case over there, if it's sakana of the guyim, so we don't want to get the guy, don't do anything. Just take the cover, and cover the tefillin just to protect them, and walk away. However, if it's time you're just worried about goyim themselves that are just robbers, meaning there's no sa'at sakana over here, so we don't want you to stand there because you're going to get robbed maybe. But what? At least save the tefillin. So therefore, take the tefillin and go, pachot pachot, midal rabot. So there's a difference between a gezerah of the goyim against tefillin per se. Therefore, don't get him involved with the tefillin. They're going to get into trouble. Just cover him up and walk away. If it's just sakarat nukhri, where's the, you worried about the goyim? I done already, we tell you. We don't want you to stand there. You're going to put your life in danger. You might get mugged. So what? Just take the tefillin, walk. Pahot, pahot. So the Gemara says, Amar le Abaye. Abaye comes along and says, Bemai ukimta le matnitim. How do you want to establish al Mishnah? Besakanat of the kochavim. Oh, you want to tell me that that's the case of sakana of the kochavim, meaning where it's shat of the shmad, and therefore we're telling you just cover him up and leave. Hema sefa. Yeah, but I have a problem with the sefa of al Mishnah. Because if you remember, this end of our Mishnah said, Rabbi Shimon Omer, notnan lahavero, vahavero lahavero. Right? He said that you could transfer the tefillin home. Well, you don't got to wear them, but you give it to your friend, and you pass it to the friend, and the friend passes it to a friend. As long as they're within four amot of each other, you could transfer the tefillin home. Now hold it. We're talking about a case where the Goyim made a shmad against wearing tefillin. This is a worse idea that the Bishamon is giving. Because now, Kol Chiken, you're getting the whole group into trouble. Now you make a big noise. You see a line of Jews handing off tefillin to each other. What are you talking? How could he give that advice? The Gemara says, Kol Chiken de Av Shamilta. All the more so it's going to make noise. Which means, if you're worried about the one guy standing there, that you tell the guy, you don't even got to stand there. Just cover it up and leave. The Bishamon says, no. Hand it off friend to a friend. What are you talking about? Well, the most of that's going to be a situation where it's going to put the people in takana. So the Gemara says, you're right. Hasurin nihsira v'achi ketani. The Mishnah is missing some words over here. So you got to interject the words like this. When do we tell you, cover it and leave? That's when there's a second abdiguin that are trying to go against the mitzvot. Right? About the sakana, the steam. But when it's sakana of stam robbers, then modichan pachot pachot midal ramot. Then the first opinion will say, "Well, we don't want you to wear them, but what? We'll let you carry them less than because if you're worried about goyim, we don't want the guy to now have to go back so many trips. So we can tell the guy take all the tefillin and just walk them pachot pachot." And to that, Rabbi Shimon came along and said, no, you don't have to walk the pahot pahot. You can even take many people, give it to your friend, and he'll transfer it to the other friend, and he'll transfer it to the other friend. But that's only in the case of sakanat listim, where you're worried about robbers. But if you were worried about goyim that made a gezerah against the keep of the mitzvot, even Rabbi Shimon will agree, cover them and leave. Why are you covering them again? Just to protect the sanctity of the tefillin. Good. Comes again and says, "Rabbi Shimon Omer notnan lahavero." And now we want to understand the nature of this machloket. Tana Kama is saying what? No, walk pachot pachot midal amot. Again, in the case of what sakarat listim, when it's just robbers you're concerned about, you're not worried about the goyim that are coming against the mitzvot. You're just worried about your own personal safety. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon holds what? No, you don't even have to, you don't walk to Hapa Hamadal Ramot. You do the handoff to the friends. Havero la Havero. So the Gemara says, Bemaika Mepalge. What is the nature of this machloket between Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon? Mor sabar pachot marba amot adif. Tanakama says, you know what? Walking less than 4 more is better. The I amart nutnan la Havero va Havero la Havero avsha milta de Shabbat. Says, that's too much noise for Shabbat, meaning it takes away from the sanctity of Shabbat. Because we're letting you do this item over here, the less people involved, the better. We don't want to make a big noise. I've said the noise, meaning it's not the kavod of Shabbat, kind of, you're passing off, there's 10 guys in a row there, you're passing it off. We don't want to lose the sanctity of the Shabbat. You want to do it yourself, walk pa'ot, pa'ot. All right, it's a private situation. Umor sabad notan havero adif. The Mishnah says, no, I hold the exact opposite. Giving it to the friend and passing it off from a friend to a friend is better. Why? We're worried about if you let the guy do it alone, unwittingly, what's going to happen? That he might walk more than 4 amot. which means a guy cannot always midakdek, 3.5 stop, 3.5 stop. It's going to happen when you're doing all this time, what happens? You're going to walk one time more than four. And already did an isur. But when you have chavero the chavero, first of all, you have a lot of people that remind you, hey, don't go anymore. Stop over there. So therefore he holds it's less prone to come to isur when you do it havero the havero than if you just do it yourself. So that's the nature of the machloket. The Tanakh Kama says havero the havero is avsha milta. It's too much literally noise or too much commotion for the Shabbat. And Mishnah says yeah, but it's safer. And therefore he opts with that. Comes Gemara and continues. Vechen beno. What do we say in the Mishnah? And so too with your son, meaning you pass him into the Rishut Rabim, Havero, the Havero, you know, from one guy to the other. So the Gemara says, Beno, my Ba'i Hatam. What is his son doing stranded in the Rishut Rabim that now all of a sudden you have to hand him off to people, Pachot, Pachot, Midal Ramot? What's the case over here? So Gemara says, Debe min ha-shetana b'sheyildato immo basade. Oh, we're talking about a case where his mother gave birth to him in the field. So it's a newborn. So you have a baby in the field, and he's stuck there. Now the kid needs to get home. You need to, you know, to bathe him or to anoint him with the oil. I mean, it's a newborn infant. So in that case over there, they say, all right, well, obviously the child is not in sakana. If the child was in sakana, then just carry him home as quick as you can. The hadush is what? Not in sakana, just pass, hand him off, havero la havero, till you get him home. So the Gemara says, umay afidu hin me'ah. If you remember in the Mishnah, in that case it said, even if there's 100 people, where you're handing off the kid from one guy to another guy, oh, pahot, pahot, midal ramot, even if it's 100. Now, why would the Mishnah say, in that case, even if it's 100? In the previous case, when it was talking about tefillin, the Mishnah didn't say, you hand it off from friend to friend, even if it's 100 people. But when it came to the case of the son that was just born in the field, it said, even if it's 100. So the Gemara wants to know, why are you throwing in that over here? So the Gemara says, Hiddush, da'afagav de'kashya le'yada, even though for the child, it's a little uncomfortable to be handed off to 100 people, afilu ache ha'adifa. It's still better to do it that way, which means for an infant, when you're handing it over to, you know, one to the other, it's a little tzar, right? You know, you gotta hand them off to one to the other. Still, better to do it that way than one guy to walk in pachot pachot midal ramot. So that's why he said it in the case of the baby. To tell you, even so, pachot pachot is the proper way. No, meaning chavero la chavero is the proper way, as opposed to one guy doing it pachot pachot. Now we continue the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda omer noten adam habit. Okay, let's review what he said. Rabbi Yehuda came along and said, you could do the same heter of chavero la chavero, friend to a friend, not only for mitzvot, not only for tefillin, not only for a baby that was born in the field. He holds that this heter was even said by voluntary items. For example, you have a barrel of water or wine, and you want to bring it home to drink on Shabbat. No problem. And it's in the Rishut Rabim. Just keep on handing it off. Havero la havero. And then he went further to say that what? And it's not bound by the laws of Tum. Meaning, I don't care who owns the barrel, so to speak. It's not bound by the laws of Tum. You can bring it, you know, wherever you can go, the barrel can go as well. So the Gemara is going to ask, what do you mean? The Biudah doesn't hold of Tum. Because normally there's a standing rule that says, objects follow the Tum of their owner. So whoever owned this barrel, wherever his 2,000 amot ends, that's where it ends. Why isn't the Biudah concerned about the Tum issue? Why is he allowing me to just hand off this barrel, you know, as far as you want? So the Gemara asked this question. V'let le l'Rabbi Yehuda ha'aditnan. Well, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold it in Mishnah that says, ha'behema v'akelim, when it comes to an animal or it comes to utensils, keragle ha'be'alim, they follow the feet of its owners, which means wherever its owners can travel, walk, That's where the goods can travel. So Amar Rish Lakish Mishum Levi Saba. So Rish Lakish said the name of Levi Saba. Achabim Askinan. What are we talking about over here? B'me'aran Mehabit Lehabit. We're talking about where you are emptying out the contents from barrel to barrel, which means you're not transporting the barrel, you're just transporting the contents. I mean, the first guy stands there, he has the original barrel, yeah? There's water in there, let's say, right? So he pours the water into the next guy's barrel. The next guy pours the water. So what he's saying is, and we're going to see it now, the view that holds when it comes to water, water is not bound by tum. The barrel, yeah, that's why the barrel, but we're not transporting any barrels over here. That's kelim. We're talking about just the content. And the Gemara says, v'rebiyud ala ta'meh. And the biyudah is following his reasoning. De'amar, because he says, ma'im en bahem mamash. Water is insignificant. It's not considered substantial to be bound by tum. Ditnan, how do you know this? Because we have a Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda poter b'mayim. Rabbi Yehuda says, the person is patur from water, mepeneh she'en bahem mamash. Now where was that said? Let's look at Tashi. You see Tashi poter b'mayim? It's further down in Tashi. Right? Not in the first wide line, it's much higher than that. First wide line of the Gemara is correct. Poter b'mayim. He just tells you the source of this. Pluktayu b'perik batra de betza. Comes from a thicket betza. What's the case? Ha'isha she'sha'ala me'haverta. It's on Yom Tov. Lady asked her neighbor. She wants tevalin de kedera. She needs some spices for her kedera, for the, for the pot, for the food. U'mayim u'melach le'itzata. And she needs salt and water to make dough. So the Mishnah says over there that what? They're bound by the tum of both of them, which means you can only transport those items in common areas of the one that's lending it and the one that is borrowing it. Meaning, if let's say they have their Eruv in opposite directions, and Isa Zazam in Koma, so then you're stuck. You can't move the dough anywhere because it follows the raglaim of the owners. Lefi she'en lezu shel Safon afidu amah had bedarom. Right. Ve'ani milikishet natnu Erubam lesuf alpayim. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda poter b'mayim. Rabbi Yehuda says no. When you borrow water, right, you put it in the dough. She'en ba'alat ha'mayim osirit al ba'alat ha'kemach klum. Which means, I got the flour, yeah? I come along and tell the lady on Shabbat, on Yom Tov, of course, and I need to borrow some water. Now, her Eruv is, let's say, to the north. Okay? Meaning she put her Eruv 2,000 Amah to the north, right? That means she cannot go one Amah to the south. Now, this lady who's borrowing wants to go to the south. The Rebbe Yehuda says, take the water home, no problem. Why? Because when it comes to water, water is not significant. You don't go with the owner of the water, so she can take her dough, technically, home. So what do you see? The Rebbe Yehuda doesn't give restrictions when it comes to water. Beautiful. So that's why we explain the Mishnah. When the Mishnah said that the Rebbe Yehuda holds what? No problem, because he's talking about the mayim. You're not moving the barrels, you're just transporting the water. And so I don't care who owned it. Yeah, somebody owned this water. Whoever owned the water, his eruv is one way. It doesn't matter. It goes according to now it's not bound by the tome, and then we could take it to wherever you want. So it comes again. What Aaron says, "Ma'im in bo mamash." It's not subject to tchumi. So the Gemara says, "Umay lo tehalech zu." If you remember the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, we'll look at the Lashon of Rashi. Look at Umay lo tehalech zu. Har Rabbi Yehuda namid b'habit lo ka'amar. Which means if you look at the Lashon of the Mishnah, the rabbis came against the Yehuda and said, what do you mean? How could you transport the barrel? What do you mean? Doesn't it follow the tum? I'll give you the Lashon of the Mishnah. The Lashon of the Mishnah was... Here, Lashon of the Mishnah. Here. Amru lo. They told the Yehuda, lo ta'alek zu yoter menagle ba'alea. Now what does zu mean? The barrel. How could you transport the barrel to a place where the owners cannot go? What are you talking about? According to this interpretation, we're not talking about the barrel. The barrel is not moving anywhere. It's just the water. So what was the claim of the Hachamim against Rabbi Yehuda? So comes the Gemara and says, "Umay lo talek zu, lo yehalech ma shebezu yoter meragle habealim." It's not zu, it's ma shebezu, which means the rabbis hold that water also is bound by the owner. So the people that would say, nah, water, imba mamash. You know, take it wherever you want to go on Shabbat. Which means, pahot, pahot, because you're giving havero la havero. Hakamim came along and said, no. Lo tehalech mash bezu, which means what's in here, meaning what's in the barrel, is bound by the Eiruv. Comes the Gemara and says, by Tehomin. Comes the Gemara and says, Imar de shamat el Rabbi Yehuda hecha dibliyan be'isa. Hold it. When did Rabbi Yehuda say that we're not worried about the restrictions of the water? Well, we know the source. We learned the source, Masechet Betza. That's when the water was mixed with the flour, and now it's in the dough. Hecha di'itnu be'inayhu mishamatle. Who told you that he's lenient when the water is actually exposed? She's, maybe he was lenient when the water is mixed with the kemah. Already you made dough out of it. I did not tell you, you know what? The water that's in the dough is not going to restrict me. But who told you to be who that's going to be lenient in actual water itself? Well, what's the difference? Why not? Look at what it says. Hashta bekidera amar Yehuda lo batle. In the case of a kidera, which means let's say a lady needed water for a kidera. She had a roast, let's say. And she goes to the neighbor, and she wants some water, like for the gravy, let's say, right? The Yehuda says, you got to follow the tehum of the one that lent it to you. Now that's talking about where the water was added to the kidera. It has a different taste. It has a different color now. And still he says what? It's not one with the kidera. It's just like a gravy. And still he says what? It goes after the tehum of the original person. Be'ainayu batle. Hey, you're going to tell me when they're actually the same, when no change was done to it. You're going to tell me it's going to be batel? Mm-hmm. Now the Gemara is saying, no proof. I'll tell you, maybe by regular water, the Biuda is machmir. We do see his machmir, but when you add water to the kedera, only by dough he was lenient. So the Gemara says, how do you know this? The Tanya. The Biuda omer, mayim umelach betelim be'aisa. Yeah, salt and water will be batel when it comes to making it into a dough, meaning it has no tchum. But it's not going to be batel when you borrow the water to put into your pot of food, because it's still there, the moisture of the water is still, it's not like the dough. Once you put it in the dough, the water's gone. The water is sucked up into the dough, no problem. So what you see here, according to the Bible, makes a difference between what the water is being used for. So therefore, we are back to the question of the Mishnah, the Biuda. How could you transport now not only the barrel but the water beyond the tomb? And don't tell me water is not significant. Water is not significant when it's swallowed in Isa, but on its own, it's a concern. Ela Marava, Rava comes along and says, "Hacha bechabit shekanta shevita." Umayim shelo kanu shevita aschinan. We're talking about a case over here where in Echanami, you had a habit, a barrel, and the barrel was owned by somebody, and therefore it has a specific shevita, meaning a specific limit where it can be transported into. But the water inside of it was not kone shevita, which means going into Shabbat, this water did not have any restrictions where you can take it to. For example, let's say
You filled it from a waterfall on Shabbat. Nobody owned it going into Shabbat, so those waters are not restricted anywhere. So now you have a catch-22 here. You have a barrel that has limitations, but the water inside doesn't. Hiddush is going to be, Rabbi Yehuda's going to say, you know what? You go according to the water. And therefore the barrel becomes secondary to the water. Debata habit legabe mayim. And therefore you can even take the barrel beyond its border. When you have a barrel and water, what's the ikar? The water. So the barrel goes after the mayim. And we saw this principle in Masechet Shabbat. He's going to bring that proof. Kedetan. Hamotzia hay bimita. A guy on Shabbat, he's transporting a living person in a bed. Okay? Now, the deen is patur af al hamita. Now normally we have a deen that says when you carry a living person, you're patur, because hay nose et atzmo. A person carries his own weight. Okay, but here you have a problem because you're carrying him in a stretcher. Now, a stretcher is full-fledged carrying. So when you carry a live person in a stretcher, true, you're patur on the guy, but you should be hayav on the stretcher. What is the deen? You're patur even on the stretcher. Why? Because the stretcher becomes secondary to the guy that's on it. Hamotze ochlin pachot mikeshiur bichli. We know, we learned about Masechet Shabbat as well. To carry food on Shabbat, the minimum shiur is what? A gerogeret. Right? The size of, say, a fig. So now, let's say you're carrying or you're transporting less than a gerogeret, but in a vessel. Well, a vessel, any shiur is hayab. The haidush is patur afala keli. When you put the less than gerogeret food in the keli, you patur not only on the food, but you patur for transporting the keli as well. Why? Because the keli tafelo. So apply those same rules by the habit. The Mishnah is talking about the habit had a shevita. The mayim inside did not have a shevita. You go according to the water. And therefore, according to Rabba, you're not emptying out the contents. You could actually transport this habit as far as you want till you get it to the destination. Matib Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef wrote a question from a braita. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Bishayara. What's a shayara? You have a bunch of guys, three guys at least, that got stuck in the middle of the desert, let's say, on Shabbat. They're caught now in a place on Shabbat. Noten adam habit l'chavero, v'chavero l'chavero. When it comes to a shayara, then we're lenient with this item. Meaning, take the barrel and just hand it off from one guy to the next guy to get it to the place where you need. So it's mashmah that this heter of chavero l'chavero by barrels with water was only said by what? People that were stuck in a situation on Shabbat. So the Gemara says, Beshayara in. Shelo Beshayara lo. Which means the Heter is only said by a Shayara. So we're questioning Rava. What are you telling me over here that what? The water goes after the barrel. That was only said, Legabe Shayara, this Heter. So we're back to the question on the Mishnah. How, Mishnah, are you telling me that the Biudah is being allowed you to transport barrels with water? What are you talking? It's not a shayara now, Mishnah. Ela amar of Yosef ki tenan nami manitim b'shayara tenan. Yeah, that's the answer. The Mishnah is specifically talking about a case of shayara. So now we have an answer of Rabbi Yosef to learn the Mishnah. It said you're transferring the barrel with the water. What? And the Hiddush is only in a case where people got stuck in the field. Then we give it. So according to this answer, it's nothing to do with the water is batel to the barrel. Nu heter. Guys that are in a predicament, that are stuck, the laws of Tumah are waived in order to allow these guys who are stuck to drink their water. So therefore, he's learning the Mishnah. It's not one guy. One guy that wants to drink water on Shabbat, he can't start handing off barrels to... You're going to have limitations to your Tumah and all that stuff. The reason why over here he told you, take it wherever you want, is because of a shayara. Comes the Gemara and says, look at Rashi for a second, please, third white line, Shayara, Shehanta bibika. Yeah, they encamped in a valley. Shehanusinin, they're in a circumstance. She'en lahem mayim. Shari lehura banan de tibbatil. In that case over there, we'll say that it's batil, meaning from the Shi'at's Mashra, Mizubin's batil. I'll tell you that the water is batil to the barrel. Meaning, even though the barrel has Shevitah, and the water does, in that case, go transport. So the Gemara says, you're right. The Mishnah was talking about a Shayara. Now that's only according to who? That's according to Rabbi Yosef. Mm-hmm. But if you remember, according to Rabbah didn't explain the Mishnah like that. Rabbah says about one individual guy, and he just gave the rule. The water, the barrel goes after the water. What do you mean? But how can you say that? The Bihuda only gave that heter by a Shayara. Rabbah, how do you answer the Braita? Ot Pam. Rabbah was the one that said, the Mishnah is talking about, the water is the Ikar, and the barrel goes after the water. How could you say that that's the case? We have a Braita in the name of Rabbi Yehuda that says that heter was only said by a Shayara. Gemara says, Abaye Amar, Bishayara, you know what the Hiddush of Shayara is? Afilu habit shekanta shevita umayim shekanu shevita. Which means the Hiddush of Shayara is where they were both bound by Eruv. Meaning, let's say the water had a specific tomb and the barrel still in a Shayara, take it wherever you want. Our Mishnah is talking Shelo Bishayara. And therefore, habit shekanta shevita umayim shelo kanu shevita. Which means Abaye is sticking up for Rava's answer about Mishnah. The answer of the Mishnah really is talking about what? The water has no Shevitah, and the barrel does. And therefore the barrel goes after the water. Oh, in the case of Shayara? Then we're even lenient. If both of them had Shevitah, still, since you're in a predicament where in the middle of the field, you can transport the barrel and the water as much as you can. So therefore it comes out so far we have two potential answers to this Mishnah. We have Rava's answer and Rabbi Yosef's answer. Rava will say it's talking about one individual guy. The water had no Shevitah. Take the barrel with it. Rabbi Yosef says no. We're talking about a case of a Shayara, and that's why we're giving you the heter of water going after the barrel. Rabbi Asher, third answer, Amar, Acha b'habit hefker askenan, umayim hefker askenan. He says over here, it's a simple case. Everything is hefker. Everything is ownerless. Now, your original question was, Rabbi Yehuda, what do you mean? Doesn't the barrel and the water, doesn't everything go after the owner? There's no owners over here. This barrel and the water was ownerless. So once it's ownerless, so now it has no tomb. And none of these people that are passing it on are acquiring it. And therefore, it just can go as far as you want. So the Gemara says, Uman Amru Lo. So then what's the rabbis contesting? Right, the Mishnah says, the rabbis told them, what do you mean? How can you transport it? Why can't you transport it? Is there a shita that holds items of hefker have a tomb? The Gemara says, yeah, Rabbi Yohanan ben Nurihi. De'amar hefse hefker konin shevita. Yeah, hefse hefker indeed do have shevita. Oh, so the question of the Gemara is, umay lo talech zu. So what do they mean when they said that this should not be transported? Yoter meragle habealim lo yehalchu elu yoter mekim, which means what did it mean when it says lo yehalchu zu yoter meragle bealim? The Mishnah said this item cannot be transported more than the bealim. What do you mean? There's no bealim of it. It's efker. Okay, it's Rabbi Yohanan ben Nuri. Allah Baruch. Rabbi Yohanan ben Nuri holds chatzei efker have restrictions. But the Lashon that used doesn't make any sense. Because the Gemara's Lashon, the Mishnah's Lashon was what? Lo yalchu elu yotem meragle ba'alim. There's no ba'alim in this case. So the Gemara says, lo yalchu elu yotem mekelim shiyesh lahim ba'alim. Meaning, just like kelim that have ba'alim, they only have 2,000 amot from wherever the owner's legs are, whatever, so too this is going to have a restriction, you only get 2,000 amah. Meaning, it is bound by a specific restriction, which is when he said lo yalchu yotem meragle ba'alim. It doesn't mean in this case. This case doesn't have ba'alim, but it means this case is not going to be better than kelim shel ba'alim. Just like kelim shel ba'alim, you have a tomb wherever the ba'alim's tomb is. This also is going to have tomb. Which means, could be, it's gonna go after the guy that's intending to drink it. which means the guy, yeah, or where it is, where you found it. You found it, let's say, on Shabbat in a certain area, finish, you get the 2,000 amah from there. It's not going to be, you're not going to get 20,000 amah in this case. It's not going to be better than kelim that do have an owner. So that's the machlok, we do hefseh. So because we have three answers. We have Rava's answer, we have Rabbi Yosef's answer, and we have Rav Asher's answer. Rava's answer, it's an individual guy, water had no shevitah, the barrel goes after the water, and you're moving the barrel as far as you want. Rav Yosef's answer, no, same case, but it's talking about a shayara. Rav Asher's answer, it's talking about a hefker, where the water is hefker, and the barrel is hefker, and therefore you can move it as much as you want. And Nachamim contended, Rabbi Yohanan Ben Nuri, no, hefker also have restrictions. Baruch Adonai L'Olam.